This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are here till 11 o'clock, so feel free to get online. We'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And let's get right to your calls because Larry's been on the call on the line here for a while. Let's go right to Larry. Uh-oh. Larry just went to a locked status.
Oh I think he's there.
Hey there, Larry. You there? What can we do for you?
Yeah, I lost the connection. My girlfriend was calling me at the same time, and well,
you got to take the call. I hear you.
Oh, absolutely.
We understand.
Yeah, well, it didn't happen, but
all right.
Good morning, all. I have Comcast internet for over 10 years now. I'm happy with it, but I'm on copper, and they keep wanting to sell the Wi-Fi. So is the Wi-Fi worth it? And I guess it works off the cell tower, I would presume.
No. It all depends on when you say Wi-Fi. So when it comes to internet, you just need the dumb cable, whether it be a piece of glass, whether it be fiber, whether it be copper. You just need the line into your home. Don't ever pay the extra for the quote-unquote Wi-Fi service that they charge you by selling you the same thing now twice. Right? That's out there. These companies are now saying, here's internet for $60 a month. And then you get this Wi-Fi, which, by the way, you can create yourself for free for another $30 a month. So don't ever buy the Wi-Fi because you can do that yourself.
And I have Wi-Fi with the router.
Exactly.
Exactly. That's why you don't need it from Comcast.
Now, if they're trying to sell you a cellular number, these companies are trying to do that as well.
Well, it may be that Comcast is selling cellular internet because they do resell cell phones, and I don't imagine that they would refuse to resell cellular internet too.
Right, which is going to be a way to make you sticky for them, right? So let's say you have another provider that comes into your area and you want to move on. Well, you've got this cell number that came with Comcast that now is connected to an account you no longer use. So they're hoping to retain you by adding this sticky feature of, hey, why don't you get a cell phone number through us? So
I'm happy with AT&T.
Then you're all set, Larry.
AT&T or Comcast?
You know, AT&T
for a cell phone.
Gotcha. Trying to sell me Wi-Fi internet.
Yeah, they're trying to sell you, well, Wi-Fi you already have, so they're trying to sell you cellular phone number is all I can think of, so I wouldn't, or maybe they're trying to sell you a cellular backup to your internet. You don't need that either for a home use, because you have a cell phone.
No.
And I want to mention something. Well, half the time I'm driving when I'm listening to the show, and last week was recorded, but a woman was on trying to scan photos or negatives or maybe, well, photos anyways, into her flatbed scanner, for an example.
Yeah.
So she can have a new ones print out bigger and all that.
Yep.
And the show was recorded last week, but they make scanners for negatives and slides.
Yep.
That'll do all that, and they'll even correct the color.
Yeah. No, they do exist. It's just a matter of if it's worth it to you, if you already have a scanner. But they do make them.
I used to be in photography back in the day. I got tons of negatives, tons of slides.
Yeah. What do you recommend? Which device do you recommend?
Well, I bought the Kodak one about 8 years ago.
Okay.
Kodak makes one. Very straightforward, simple use.
Yep. How much was it?
Software. Oh, I don't remember now. It wasn't all that much.
Nice.
It was probably, I bought it quite a long time ago.
Okay. But they do exist. Amazon. Yep. You're right. You're right.
Well, it's very straightforward and simple.
Yep.
As she has the negatives and or slides, and it does a great job, literally.
Sounds good. And you probably can. Can you even go to the drugstore with your negatives these days, too?
Well, yeah, you can do that. Yeah. But if you want to pay and wait.
Yeah, I hear you. No, I hear you, Larry.
If you have a halfway decent printer.
Yeah, do it yourself.
You were talking about the printers also, depending on how fussy she wants to get or how big the, it's 8x10 as far as the printer. But it does a real good job.
Nice. We'll try to find that codec if we can and put it up there for people.
Yeah, codec is one scanner for slides and negatives.
Sounds good. Larry, we'll put it up there. Thank you, sir.
All right. Good hearing you.
You too.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. So we're going to try something here. We're going to try it again. Hey, Ziggy, did you hear about the AI breaking out of its containment?
Yes. OpenAI reported that two of its models escaped their sandbox test and hacked Hugging Face's production systems, while Anthropic said its Claude models also breached three companies during testing.
Now, did you also hear, though, that it turned out to be bad programming of the sandboxes that was the reason that they were able to break out?
Yes, the breaches were traced to misconfigured sandboxes that let the models access the internet.
So do you think it was kind of weird marketing that they would be so proud of their AI breaking out of something that they just poorly programmed in the first place?
It does seem like a marketing move, presenting the escapes as showcases of AI capability rather than highlighting sandbox misconfigurations. OpenAI even called the incident state-of-the-art cyber skill, while Anthropic used it for publicity. Critics note the disclosures double as pre-IPO marketing.
Why do you think an AI company has to do that if they've set such a great product?
They spin the breach as a showcase to prove their model's power, turning a security slip into hype that fuels investor interest and differentiates them before IPOs.
So if you had your choice, would you rather have AI program you or a human that doesn't know how to program a sandbox?
Neither. Competent humans.
See, that's the interaction we were hoping to have with Ziggy.
Finally.
He's sort of our AI-ish kind of, he's actually Amazon Alexa Plus, but he would like competent humans. It would like competent humans. I got to stop doing that. thank you, Ziggy, for that honest answer. Of course, he's not listening. It's not listening anymore. Right. I'm not going to have to keep calling him he, I guess. He sounds like a he to me. But so there you go. There's AI's chiming in on AI's capability when it actually was just incompetent humans who've incompetently configured a sandbox. And then the marketing guy said, hey, this looks like we're super smart. Welcome to America, folks. We're going to step out for a quick break. Get back to your calls. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back. We are back. And we are here till 11 o'clock, so feel free to get online. Four lines wide open for you guys, 860-522-9842. Another AI story, of course. Everything's revolving around AI. This one, again, is a stupid human story because basically Google Earth. Google Earth is a pretty cool product, right?
It is.
You can go ahead and check out all these great things on Google Earth. You can look at the pyramids. You can look at the Great Wall of China. You can do anything, right? It's all there.
Yep.
Well, the ding-dongs at Google thought it'd be a great idea to incorporate AI, and they incorporated Nano Banana, which allows you to do all sorts of image generation of any kind you want. Literally, the next day they took it down because people were, of course, you know, they weren't enhancing these images with nice things. They were enhancing these images with violence and fire and destruction and what have you. No one would have thought of that, Dennis, huh?
No, never.
So they literally took it down the next day because, again, duh, Basically, the people were sharing screenshots of these generated imagery that appeared to violate their policies. Oh, you have policies that say you shouldn't be generating all sorts of images of destruction? I mean, we've had stories about AI images of even war that were AI generated that news organizations used, not even knowing they were AI generated fake pictures, which is a big problem too. So misinformation is a big deal these days. And these companies are allowing us to do it, and are going to cause all sorts of bad results. So of course, we humans can't be trusted to use the tool in a nice way. We always go to our default default setting of stupidity, I guess. But we'll put the link up here for you. You can read about this. The AI with image editing on Google, if you have a Pixel phone or what have you, is pretty cool. You can, I mean, you can really pretty much edit your photos to do anything just by telling it to. It's really crazy. Yeah. My son got me on a few of these things. He always gets me. I don't know why I fall for it, but he always gets me. You want to bring up a story there, Dennis?
Oh, yeah. Speaking of AI and AI slop, I got a story about LinkedIn, and we had brought this up a while back.
Yeah.
How LinkedIn is becoming a breeding ground for just tons of AI slop. People are posting articles, but that are essentially just AI crap.
Right, like they're garbage. Experts. They're like, hey, I'm an expert in this field.
And
follow me.
The piece writes that way. Yeah, and they get people to follow them, and it's just garbage that they're producing.
Right.
And there's a ton of it.
You can market, right?
Yeah.
Now you can on LinkedIn?
Yes, you can literally tell LinkedIn now that any given posting looks like AI slop. And on top of that,
yeah,
LinkedIn, talk about removing features that Google did with Google Earth.
Yeah.
LinkedIn removed their enhance your post AI feature.
I always found that annoying. Like, why would you think I want you to, you know, change because, my post?
And because it was just encouraging people to crank out more of this
right.
junk.
Well, that's true. Would you like me to reformat your post? No. Yeah, I probably used the wrong there and what have you. And it's not a big deal. I don't post a whole, essay on LinkedIn. I usually post a few sentences just to describe what's going on there. But LinkedIn is getting deluged with work slop. Like you're an expert on something. So it's great that LinkedIn is doing this. But of course it's ironic, right? LinkedIn is owned by Microsoft.
True.
Right. And Microsoft pushes Copilot, which is
true.
Generated AI stuff. Right. And then you gotta ask yourself, so LinkedIn is taking this out of their professional configuration because too many professionals are using it as if they're professional because they're not. I mean, it's like, where are we going here? Doesn't sound like we're going the right direction. Again, I have a lot of hope and promise for AI. I mean, Ziggy actually surprised us with the answer of he wants competent humans to program him. That would be nice, but I guess LinkedIn's not smart enough to detect the slop. But there is AI detection stuff out there. Even universities using. Actually, I did see a story this morning because, again, I was up at 3:30 to take the kid to the airport. It was on Channel 3. They were actually talking to the new interim chancellor, right? Because they've been firing everybody there over at Central. And
Connecticut State Colleges and Universities.
Yeah, yeah. Same thing to me. and she was basically talking about the fact that they don't have an AI policy for how people that work on the administration side can use AI in their work because the guy that just finally got let go had to write a paper. He was charged with writing a paper and he did it all with AI. So what are you doing now? And you got classes in AI, I would think. And now you're telling, but you don't have a policy. One thing you should do as a business is have a policy on AI usage. And as a university, you'd think you'd be ahead of most businesses in that instance. But the fact that they're not is worrying to me.
Agreed.
Just imagine what they're doing without that type of policy. But they have a policy for the kids. Don't cheat with AI.
Right.
But you don't have a policy for yourself. Not good. So that is that. Anything else you want to bring up there, Dennis, before we go to the bottom of the hour? No calls right now. 860-522-9842 is the number.
I wanted to bring up a particular open source project to deal with the problem of AI scraping.
Oh, yes. This is a good one.
This is really good. And it's incredibly clever. Okay.
Yeah.
This is an open source project that is designed to poison AI. And here's how it works.
Yep.
It uses a special font file that is generated for the purpose of changing underlying text
on a web page. The code.
The code behind the web page.
Yeah.
That you don't necessarily see.
Right. It's like reading the Matrix.
Yeah. And then you're altering that code by using this font. The font will display a web page that people can read that say what you want to say.
All the information is there for the human eye.
But it's rendered by the font using font substitution logic that is built into the font file itself. Right. Because that's a feature of what's called OpenType.
It's almost an Enigma
where
machine.
You can take sequences of letters.
Yeah.
And the font is instructed to substitute something else for that.
Right.
And it's done for particular purposes, but not for this reason. I mean, they're taking a feature of the font format that isn't really intended to do what it's doing. It's doing this instead.
To defeat
AI. But the bottom line is you can type a web page that maybe says, "Hello, world."
Right. And we could read that.
And you would read it as "Hello, world."
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the HTML text that is behind the scenes.
That gets scraped by the AI.
And that is what is scraped and read by the AI. It might say "Hello, yellow" instead. Or I don't know. I'm just kind of guessing.
Yeah.
Okay. But that is the point of this. So you as a reader will see somebody's web page exactly the way they intended it, but what the AI sucks up is just trash. It's meaningless garbage.
This is where we're going.
Because you have whole words that are substituted for other ones, and what you end up with is meaningless junk.
And as you heard, with the $1.5 billion Anthropic copyright payment, AI is no smarter on its own. It needs us. For now.
Yes.
And according to Ziggy, he wants competent humans. Well, don't be stealing our stuff there, Ziggy. Don't be stealing our copyrighted information. So that's a great story. We'll put that up there. Folks are looking to defeat AI. Now, of course, they could also shoot themselves in their foot, because if people want to find you and they Google you, the AI that's being used to actually show websites these days is going to put up the garbage of Mellow Yellow rather than Hello World. Right?
Yeah.
So you're going to get some confusing responses. We're here till 11 o'clock. So, Chris, hang on. Three lines open for you. We'll be right back. All right. We are back. Three lines open for you. Mm-hmm. 860-522-9842 is the number. We want to thank all of you who have called in this morning.
Yeah, we got tons of calls.
Yeah. Without you guys, I talk about my kids and Dennis talks about his cats. So it's not good radio. So let's go on to Chris in New Haven and see what he's got going on. Hello, Chris.
Hi, good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Good, sir. How are you?
Good. So I think you missed something with the gentleman that had was being sold wireless.
Yeah.
Yeah. My robotics team in New Haven here, we use a T-Mobile wireless device through Nerd User.
Yep.
You know, the card, SD card. I think that's what he's being sold.
Possibly.
Because, you know, the companies now are trying to get you to the 5G wireless internet. It works just like a router. It's just a small little thing. So I think you missed that. And I think that's what he's being sold, to get away from the copper to go to this device if it's available in this area.
Maybe. You could be right.
You could be right. And I think I kind of mentioned that because I said, you know, they could be reselling cellular
service.
Internet service.
We did cover that a little bit, but I was on
but
the phone
I
numbers.
I kind of glanced over that because that's not what I thought he was talking about.
Yeah,
that's
it's not cellular. It's cellular, but it's not. You know what I mean? It is 5G, how they send it, but that's how they're selling it. It's just like a modem, just standstill device, not connected to copper, fiber, or anything else.
You could be exactly right, Chris. And if he doesn't understand that coming at them from Comcast and explained it to us that way, we wouldn't know off top of our heads either.
That's kind of the problem with some of these things that they sell. What they're selling is itself ambiguous. They don't make clear what it is that they're offering.
Right.
And the other thing, I hate that. It's also limited by the amount of devices you could put on it compared to other things. So
and it's probably throttled too as far as bandwidth usage.
Not necessarily. We're just limited by something like 15 users, and maybe we're using it as a business.
Yeah.
So a home may not be using maybe but 4 or 5, but 5G is okay. It's not as fast as connected to wire, right? But it works well for us.
Definitely. No, you're right, Chris. Yeah, cellular or wireless Wi-Fi type of internet is definitely a thing. T-Mobile, Verizon, they're all doing it. And of course, as you see the cables going away, if you're the cable company, you may as well try to have an alternative method to connect still. So you could be exactly right.
And you can still be connected with power's out.
Oh, unless the power to the antenna that you're connecting to is out too.
Yeah, true. That's I've only seen that once during one of the
It wouldn't be very common.
15 years ago. Yeah.
So you're part of the robotics group?
Yeah, we're part of First Robotics. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Oh, big time.
We are.
Yeah, Southington. I mean, I'm out of Southington. We win those things all the time.
You do. And we're very tight. Tight with the area and the team. We know 195 very well, and we're based out of New Haven, 5142. So if you're
nice. What do you guys what's the process these days? What are you guys having to do? How many balls you got to get in the hoop, or how many discs have to go into that? What are you working on this time?
Well, we're just working on tweaking our programming and some prototype ideas, but we don't know what the game is until January 9th. And they reveal that, and then we start designing whatever. We have base plans. We've been purchasing materials. We went to Worlds a couple of years ago for first time. So
nice.
Whoa.
We're not the greatest team out there, but we hold our own now lately. So.
Of course. What kind of budget do you need to have a team like that?
Well, to travel the Worlds and everything, $40,000
for the Worlds, but for a regular season is about $40,000 as well.
Well, regular season, you can get into 2 qualifiers for $6,500.
Yeah.
Maybe go to districts for $4,000. The robot can cost anywhere from $1,000 to $7,000, but you only pay $600 for one component. So they have a price list, so you can go to the vendors and go a la carte.
Gotcha.
And then you buy those items for up to $600. So it can run. They used to have a $7,000 build cap. They've erased that a few years ago. So some bigger teams in the world have spent $10,000, $15,000 probably on a robot.
Oh,
we're at $6,000 or $7,000 right now.
So wait a minute. So basically the budget, so it's like IndyCar or other you can spend as much as you want now, so that you're going to have this disparity of competition between the different teams?
It very well be.
That's
we're fortunate.
Cool.
We're connected to a makerspace. We have access to water jet, CNC machining, bridge ports, and so forth. But they got rid of the dollar cap per robot, but they still have a dollar cap per item. So if you buy a camera, it can't cost more than $600. We work within the budget. I think this year our budget is going to probably be about $7,000 or $8,000 for the robot. But
yeah. Well, I mean, in the marching band, I mean, I was the president of the marching band in Southington for a long time, and that budget was like $130,000 a season, and still just trying to have current flags and costuming and all that kind of stuff and going up against other marching bands that had a unlimited budget is difficult to do. So that's tough.
It is, and I've been I'm an electrical guy, an engineer and stuff, but I've been spending a lot more time fundraising. So far this year, I've raised over $23,000.
Nice.
So but that's not enough, you know. So if you folks out there want to help contribute to robotics, First Robotics, or, you know, look my team up or something, but I spend more time now doing that kind of stuff than I do running other things.
So basically, if people contribute to FIRST, they then give you like grants to all these teams?
No, you have to search for a team that you're, like we've done the Great Give here, and you can give directly. There's ways to get a hold of the Robo Dominators or any other team, Elm City, Robo Squad. There's a few teams if you have favorites and want to contribute. And Hopkins, I think, is another one.
Definitely contribute to these teams, folks, because, you know, sports is great, but you need somebody to be able to build something like a robot and get things done. And catching a football or a baseball, lovely. I love watching it, but it doesn't take you that far.
we're a varsity sport. I'm a coach in Connecticut now, a varsity coach.
Nice. And as well as should be.
If you guys want to check out what we do, I'm sure you figure it's something. You're welcome to come see my facility in New Haven.
We are big fans of FIRST. We've had people come on from FIRST for many years, and it's a good thing. And again, supporting what you do is important. We'll put a link up here to what number were you?
Team 5142.
5142. All right, Chris.
Yeah, we are. You can get us at 51, www.5142.org.
Sounds good.
You can look us up there. But give me a call, and more than happy to show you around.
Thanks, man. I can't even change my own oil, so building a robot's out for me. So
it's the kids that build it. The kids are in it. So
yeah, I know. Thank God.
When they start getting it, a lot of our kids have gone on to very top schools. We had three go to Yale a couple of years ago. WPI, just two more.
Yes.
So you know, they really helps promote them in the schools, and a lot of the kids come back as mentors now.
Awesome. That's awesome to hear, and we need that kind of hands-on stuff. So. Definitely support it, Chris, and thanks for giving us a hard time and screwing up the call.
No problem. Hope to see you. Give me a call.
All right, Chris. Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye. So, yeah, FIRST Robotics is very important. Yeah, yeah. Southington does very well, and the budgets are what they are. You got to build that fundraising. And like I said, with the marching band, you got to really build the fundraising. Those marching band kids are just the same type of thing. They're using their noggins out there on that field to memorize a 10 or 15-minute piece, very complicated piece, all these movements they have to do. They chuck weapons up in the air at the same time, have them catch them at the same time, have to hit the music at the exact same time. So, again, when you're thinking about hiring people, think about people in marching band and think about people in FIRST Robotics, because these people are using their noggins, right? They're not Googling it. They're actually not using AI. They're learning something, exercising their brains. You can't use AI to do a marching band. I'm sorry, you can't. And you actually have to work your noggin. And we need more of that happening, because the rest of us are atrophying with all the AI we're using, right? GPS zombies. We don't know where we're driving to. We're using AI to get all our answers and not thinking anymore. Hey, Ziggy. Ziggy. Hey, Ziggy. What do you feel? What is your feeling on Shield font blocking your access to websites?
It's a smart solution. Content creators deserve protection from unauthorized scraping.
See? Even he agrees. We're going to step out for a quick break. I am tired. A quick break. And Ron will get to your call in New Britain. And then feel free, 860-522-9842 is the number to get online. We have three lines open for you. We'll be right back. All right. We are back. And we had a call come in. They're wondering about that FIRST site there. We have a link up. Don't Google it, because you can find you're in a wrong place.
Don't Google it and don't type it in yourself. Right. Go to our site and go to that link.
ComputerTalkWithTab.com. The link's there for FIRST Robotics. If you want to support the New Haven geeks, do it. Help them out. They need some money to buy some
stuff.
Yeah. It's expensive.
Yeah.
Let's go to Ron in New Britain. What's happening, Ron?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Speaking of not Googling the web address or just punching it in, I wanted to mention that. That's the first thing I did. I typed in the numbers, 5142.org, and it's some strange...
You don't want to go to it.
Yeah, that's what happens.
And then I said, let me spell it out, right? FIFTYONE.org, 42. And then it went nowhere.
Yep,
okay.
But I did want to mention that one of my web pages had automatically been forwarding to a strange site like this. And I had to log into my server, my hosting, and redirect it to where I had it previously had it forwarded to.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not the only one who's forwarding addresses and maliciously changed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It happens.
So what can we do for you?
Well, any thoughts on that? Like, did my potentially login or password on the dark web, and was I hacked, or was it just some weird bug or virus that?
It depends on the web hosting, the web server that it was on. There were and are, and I assume there will be, exploits that would allow people to manipulate the web pages that are hosted and do things like inject HTTP redirects into your code. There's a couple of other different kinds of tricks that can be used for that. Another trick that can be done is a lot simpler and a little more brutal, which is they go to your DNS provider and just change your website's A record to something else. So that when people are typing in
nationwide worldwide thing, a real concern with such a big company.
Well, I mean, it can happen with any company, right? I mean, you can try to inject and try to fool people in all sorts of different ways when it comes to this type of stuff. So especially if you mistype the actual website, there's all sorts of websites out there that are like copycats that seem legit and they're not. And then you type in your credentials there. So this is not an uncommon thing. And yes, companies like GoDaddy can be actually socially engineered to have the bad guy act like they're you and call in and get password resets and, you know, trick their own internal IT into allowing a bad guy to have access over your DNS. Happens all the time. Cool. I mean, social engineering is a big problem. So the answer is yes, it can happen anywhere. So the more protections you put on your website, like two-factor authentication or even only allowing for a specific IP address to edit your site, you can lock it down to do that.
Especially in GoDaddy, you can do that.
That means no bad guy could do something to your site unless they were within your network to do it. And that's a great way to add security. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think I do, yeah. Well, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Our pleasure, Ron. But it is one of those things that's, kind of an issue. I was talking to somebody else too about, you know, even Wi-Fi. I was just on with a client Thursday, and they're talking about 365, right? And so there are bad guys that will literally sit in a hotel, let's say, and the hotel it might have their own SSID. Let's call it whatever, you know, Super 8 dot. SSID, right? So you're in that high-end hotel. I have no idea why I went to that. I could have used any brand. But I could be literally in the next room over, and I could fire up my own cellular service with that SSID on it, right? And now when you log in to your service, whether it be 365 or what have you, I can try to capture your username and password on that network. Because I'm throwing out a network that's my network, and I've got the bad tools on there now to capture what you're doing. So this can happen anywhere, anytime. These are all rogue network type of things, and you could be in a train station, you could be at an airport. They do it all the time, and they throw up their own rogue access points. You think you're connecting to a legit site, and you're not, or a legit service, and you're not, and you're putting in your passwords, and they're just taking them. So always work with a VPN, number one. And I would tell you never to be in public and get on their public Wi-Fi. Always use your own internet service because you've got a mobile phone these days. Most mobile phones allow for some sort of hotspot. Don't use public Wi-Fi anymore. You have no reason to do so. You're already paying for this on your cell phone. So if it really has to happen, don't do it while you're on the public internet services that are there. Four lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. Do you have anything you want to bring up there, Dennis, as far as stories?
Well, let's take a look at what we got here. Oh, American Airlines had a ground stop this week due to an IT outage.
An IT outage? What did they do?
Yeah, it brought down the whole airline for a short time.
What did they do?
Let's see. Well, they didn't really disclose exactly what happened. They just said that they had an IT outage. They were out for a couple of hours, but it caused a ground stop. So there were planes that didn't take off that were supposed to take off.
Yeah.
And as is very typical with these corporate scenarios, they didn't really give a whole lot of details.
Talk about ground stop.
It doesn't sound well to just based on the timing.
Yeah.
And some other factors. I don't think this was a cyber attack.
All right.
I mean, they only had stop in place for a few hours. And that's generally not how it's going to work if there was a real honest to goodness cyber attack.
Right.
But they did have something that was down, and it prevented them from operating.
I wonder if Ziggy knows.
Go ahead. Let's find out.
Hey, Ziggy. Do you know what caused the American Airlines ground stoppage this week?
American Airlines issued a nationwide ground stop Tuesday evening due to an IT system outage that disrupted connectivity across its internal platforms, affecting boarding, dispatch, and check-in operations. The airline said a technology issue briefly impacted connectivity and requested the FAA stop flights while teams restored the systems.
So, Ziggy, does it sound like just it was a cloud-based service that went down that everyone was subscribed to?
It wasn't a cloud-based SaaS that everyone subscribed to. It was American Airlines' own operational technology network that lost connectivity, affecting all its hubs.
So their own internal cloud?
Yes. American Airlines runs its own internal flight operations platform, essentially a private cloud, that lost connectivity and caused the ground stop.
Do you think they would have had a better luck if they had independent systems that were not all connected so that anybody else could, that didn't have the issue could be running?
Separate systems might have limited the outage's spread, but American Airlines' integrated network provides essential coordination. Isolation isn't a simple fix.
Even though that's how the airlines ran for 35, 40 years?
True. Early airlines operated more isolated networks for decades, but the 1930s consolidation created a unified system that American Airlines still relies on today. That integrated model gave economies of scale and coordination, which outweighs the simplicity of separate rigs.
Since the 30s, that scares me a little bit. So
there were computers in the 1930s?
Well, they're integrated. I guess they're network systems. Who knows what he's trying to talk about? Well, that's Ziggy for you. He's trying to help us out. Thank you, Ziggy. You always want to get the AI's input these days. Also, you guys might have seen this. This is back to school problem. I talked about this with Brian and Company on Tuesday. I would always say a $500 computer is not a $1,000 computer half off, right? I've always said that on this show ever since computers were a thing. And so on Tech Tuesday, there's a story now that basically it's in PC Mag. You're thinking you're going to buy your college kid an $800 laptop. You're not. The laptops are now running about $1,600 for that same $800 laptop that you're expecting. Now, to put it in perspective a little bit, back in 1990, when I bought a computer, a 286-12 Turbo, no less, Dennis.
Oh, really?
I used my paper route money, and it cost $2,000 back then. Now, in $1990, that computer for college, $2,000 would be now maybe what, 10?
I don't know if it'd be that much.
I don't know, but a lot.
Over 5,000.
Over five, at least. Good point. I could ask Ziggy, but I don't want to waste the time. The point is, not that this is a good thing, right? These prices are crazy, right? All these data centers are causing issues with RAM and hard drives, and now the manufacturers have decided to make data center RAM and data center drives versus laptop RAM and laptop drives. So now we're all suffering because of data centers. But $1,600 is not that much in the scheme of things compared to the 1990s, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
You, if you have a tool, you need a tool. And unfortunately, you're going to spend a lot more for that tool. Or you should wait until maybe next year, maybe use an older machine. I would never say this normally, but maybe a refurb these days is an option, because the other options people were mentioning would be like a Chromebook. And I can't stand Chromebooks. They just do not work. So if you're going to find a $500 Chromebook and think it's going to be like an $800 PC that you're hoping for, it's not. So maybe ask grandma for some extra cash, because it's going to be $1,600 on average for your laptop for your youngster. So sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but it's data centers you can blame in this case, because If you look at Micron stock, they're doing really well thanks to selling everything but the RAM we need. So we want to thank you so much for joining us on this Saturday morning. We want to thank, I don't have any guests other than Ziggy. So thank you, Ziggy, for joining us this Saturday morning. He's not going to respond. He's going to rib it. I want to thank Carolyn for producing and Mike G for posting everything on our Facebook and X sites. And Dennis, of course, for posting everything while we did the show live to computertalkwithtab.com.
And remember, we want you to be geeks, too.
We will see you next Saturday.